Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey LeBounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Golly, I kind of feel like the long-lost Ranger sitting in here all by myself with my buddy Dalt. And of course, Dalt runs this show 52 weeks out of the year, and we wouldn't definitely not be on air had it not be for Dalt. But Mark is on assignment. Corey LeBounty is on assignment. We may hear from Corey later in the morning. We may not. Dalt, good morning, pal.
Morning, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Want to say that we're thinking about the folks in the Carolinas. I'll tell you right now, it's been a tough couple of days for the folks in North Carolina and South Carolina as Hurricane Florence has come ashore and did not do the damage that we all thought it would do as far as the force and the strength of it. And, Dalt, I know y'all been covering it all week on your morning show, but got a sister there. I got my daughter there. And it's been really, really some anxious times because, you know, when we first saw that storm, it was a Category 4.
Yeah.
And then it broke down a little bit, of course, and we thought it was going to stall right there, right on the Gulf or the Atlantic, whatever it's on. And they thought it was going to stall and just dump tons of rain on it. And for whatever reason, it came ashore and things are not as bad as we thought they'd be.
Yeah. Well, I hope your family's okay, Coach, but tons of flooding. I mean, they were talking 6 to 9 feet of
That's
storm
amazing.
Surge. It's
Man.
Just, you know, so flat on those coasts there.
Yeah.
And it goes
yeah.
so far inland. So I hope everyone is okay that is affected by that up in the Carolinas.
Well, we're thankful that they are all okay and my family's good. And I tell you what, I'm proud of the U.S. Tennis Association. They had a tournament planned for Asheville, North Carolina, which is inland. You know, it's way inland. But the floods are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the floods are a major problem. I had spent a lot of time this week talking to my buddy John Callen, who's the CEO of the UST over in Atlanta. And they eventually moved that tournament, not because of anything I said. John and I are just close enough that we can talk about that. But they moved it from Asheville, North Carolina, over to Columbus, Georgia. And some ladies that are near and dear to my heart were involved in that tournament. And so, of course, if Corey were here, he'd say I was on assignment with Diane. But thank goodness he's they ended up moving that tournament from Asheville, North Carolina, over to Columbus, Georgia, and the ladies were able to play, and they'll wind that up today and hope they have safe travels along the way. But I'm going to tell you right now, good for the USTA to move that.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Tell you what let's do. Let's go through these scores, Dalt. Let's go through the local scores. Want to say a big hello to our buddies at the Big Yade, 106.5 in Sylacauga, Michael Brannon, Lee Pearman, you guys down there. Sylacauga Aggies had a big win last night, 21-14 over Moody. But we'll get these local scores here. And also to our buddies at the Lake, 105.1, covering beautiful Lake Martin. All my buddies up at Real Island. Good morning, guys. Hadn't seen you in a long time, but we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, last night in 7A football, McGill Tulin 21, Davidson 0, Theodore 17, Fairhope 10, Foley 30, Alma Bryant 16, Murphy 36, Mary Montgomery 30.
And in 6A, St. Paul's beat Blount 11-7, Saraland 38, Baldwin County 10, Spanish Fort 54, Robertsdale 18, Daphne beat BC Rain 40-6, Carver Montgomery went to Baker and shut them out 34-0, and Satellite Florida beating Gulf Shores 24-19.
In 5A, Citronelle 28, LaFleur 20. That was Thursday night, by the way. Viger 40, Satsuma 3. Jackson 53, Wilcox Central 8. And like I said, our buddies in Sylacauga 21, Moody 14.
UMS played at home and beat Williamson 19-0. Clark County 46, W.S. Neal 13. Hillcrest Evergreen shut out Escambia County 26-0. And Andalusia shut out Monroe County 48-0.
In 3A, T.R. Miller 40, St. Michael 0. That was Thursday night. Thomasville defeated Bayside Academy 22-0 and Flomaton 35, XL 12.
In 2A, Cottage Hill 54, Washington County 13. J.U. Blackshirt 36, Choctaw County 16. Chickasaw beat R.C. Hatch 20-12 and Leroy snuck by Southern Choctaw 14-12.
In 1A, Marengo 46, Fruitdale 0, Sweetwater 34, Millery 6, St. Luke's 49, McIntosh 6. We'll go over some state scores a little bit later on. If you have a score you want to talk about, a game you want to talk about, you can text us or you can call us at 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. I'll tell you, a couple of things jump out at me here. Theodore goes over to Fairhope and beats a doggone good Fairhope team 17-10. Eric Collier's got a dead-gum good football team over there at Theodore, and I'm going to tell you right now, to go into Majors Field and defeat Fairhope is a big win, Dalton. I know that Eric Collier's mighty excited about that. Heck, I heard him last night say, heck, I'm ready to go back to work tonight. So that was a good win for those guys.
Anything else stick out to you? I know in 7A, in a statewide upset, Hoover ended up falling last night to Hewitt Trustful big time, 56-28.
You know, that really doesn't surprise me as much as it might surprise people that don't follow it as much. Hewitt Trustful's got about six players that are being recruited, four of them by the University of Alabama. And, of course, they've got the head coach that moved in from Shiloh, Arkansas, the former school that Gus Malzahn coached at when he was in high school in Arkansas. And this guy's done a phenomenal job. Of course, most people know that Coach Paul Bear Bryant's great-grandson is the quarterback. That, well, it's not his great, it's his grandson, Paul Tyson. And the Tyson kid is a quarterback there at Hewitt Trustful. He transferred from over at Mountain Brook to Hewitt Trustful, and that's I wouldn't want to talk to Josh Niblis this morning, I can tell you that. Even as gracious as Josh is, that's a good point there to bring that out. That, golly, you know what? You surprised me with that. I didn't see that last night when I was doing some work, but they fell big.
Mm-hmm,
that's a big boy. They doubled the score on them.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think if they would have lost, it would have at least been a close game.
Yeah,
but
that's not even close. That's not even close. Let's look at a few more of them. Auburn beat Leah Montgomery 21-17. That was on the National Federation Network, by the way. I got to see a little bit of that. Austin 31, Gaston City 10. Here's another one. Central of Phoenix City 49, Prattville 6. Now, that's I don't want to call Caleb Ross today, but he would be gracious and would be on our show with us. But Jamie Dubose, who used to coach at Prattville, now at Central Phoenix City, goes to Prattville, goes back home, and beats Prattville 49-6. You don't see that happening very often. You don't see a Caleb Ross team get beat like that. Mm. So you better keep your eyes on Central Phoenix City. They, boy, that's impressive. 49-6, and they played at Stanley Jensen Stadium in Prattville, and you just don't go into Stanley Jensen and beat Prattville 49-6. That's impressive. Florence 39, Bob Jones 28, Gaston City 31, Austin 10, Hewitt Trustful, of course, in the big upset over the state of Alabama. Hewitt Trustful 56, Hoover 28, James Clemens 62, Huntsville 19, Mountain Brook 24, Spain Park 14, Smith Station 22, Enterprise 16, Sparkman 17, Grissom 13, Thompson 35, Oak Mountain 21, Vestavia Hills 28, Tuscaloosa County 19.
And then statewide 6A scores, Albertville beat Buckhorn 20-8, Athens 29, Decatur 27, Benjamin Russell 25, Selma 20, Carver of Birmingham 39, beating McCracken County, a school out of Kentucky, to 26, Coleman 48, Columbia 8, Dothan 29, Russell County 14, Fort Payne 48, May Jemison 47. Ooh. That was a close one. Ooh. Gardendale 40, Pell City 21, Hartsell 15, Muscle Shoals 14, Hazel Green beat Lee Huntsville 78-35, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa shuts out Brookwood 62-0, Homewood 48, Helena 6, Jackson Olin 22, Chelsea 0, McAdory 16, Bessemer City 12, Minor beat Pelham 28-21, Oxford shuts out Charles Henderson 62-0. On Thursday night, Park Crossing beat Northview 18-10, Paul Bryant beat Northridge 23-16, Pinson Valley 28, Clay Chalkville 21, Sydney Lanier 22, Eufaula 20, Stanhope Elmore 35, Calera 12, and Wetumpka beat Opelika 30-28.
Oh, Opelika goes to what, 1 and 3 now. That's tough. In 5A, Ardmore 33, Arab 24, Beauregard 38, Rehoboth 7, Bibb County 30, Shelby County 24, Boaz 14, Alexandria 7, Briarwood Christian 46, Woodlawn 0. Woodlawn still struggling with the young man that got killed up there, and our prayers go to those folks. Center Point 32, Munford 0, Central Clay County 42, Springville 6, Chilton County 29, Central Tuscaloosa 26, Crossville 31, Douglas 7, Demopolis 44, Marbury 7, Dora 37, Hamilton 12, Etowah 36, Sardis 0, Greenville 14, Valley 7, Gunnersville 21, Scottsboro 7, Fairfield 26, Winona 0. And we'll be back after the break with more 5A and 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A scores right here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, Alabama.
Above.
The Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Little shortstops got in here. He done come on in here from being the parking man at the cross
one
country.
Yeah, one of them. One of them.
That's okay. We do everything we can do now. That's all we have to do.
You know,
last night I had to do the same stuff, so I understand. It's part of it. We're glad you're here, Mark. We're going to finish these scores, and then we're going to go to the phone. We got a guy on here that everybody knows. We're going to finish the 5A, and then we're going to go to Corey on the phone. In 5A last night, Gunnersville beat Scottsboro 21-7, Fairfield 26, Winona 0, Jasper 35, Corner 20, Lawrence County 43, West Point 7, Madison Academy 45, Brewer 7, Mortimer Jordan 28, St. Clair County 3, Parker just annihilates John Carroll 54-0, and Mark, we're going to talk about that. I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. Ramsey 32, Pleasant Grove 9, Russellville 48, Hayden 13, and Tallahassee 24, Carroll 21. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports communication lines and talk to Corey LeBounty. Corey, how you
doing? Good morning, guys. Good morning.
Yeah.
Morning, Corey.
Always a pleasure to join you 52 weeks out of the year, even if it's not in the studio in Tomoville today, getting ready for the DeMarcus Cousins block party. Boogie's block party, as they're calling it. He's coming back, and the city of Mobile is dedicating a court at Figures Park to his name, similar to the Rutgers Park in New York. He's giving a camp for the kids this morning at LaFleur from 10 to 1. 2 o'clock, they'll do the dedication of the court. So excited about that.
Who'd you have last night, Corey?
Had Murphy and MGM last night at LAD, and Murphy was able to come away with a 36-30 win, and it's a huge region win for the Panthers. And when you look at that game last night, there was a young man who did get taken off of the field on an ambulance, so hoping he's okay. We've seen that the last couple of weeks, and we talked about it. Football is a violent game, but our prayers go up to that young man and the MGM family, hoping that everything's well with him this morning. But a good win for Muskegon Barnes and the Murphy Panthers. And Thursday night, Al Whedon and myself, we had LaFleur and Centronelle. And a big win for the Centronelle Wildcats as they go 1-0 in 5A Region 1, Rick.
Yeah, and that's a good job for Jason Barnett. Those guys are kind of off to the best start they've had in a while. We're going to have Jason on about 9:30 this morning, talk a little bit about that. So I know that that's big for him and those folks up in Centronelle. And, of course, Corey, anything surprise you last night? Any scores that you saw surprise you?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you guys talked about it in the first segment with that Hoover Hewitt Trussville score. That really stuck out. I think that was a shocker across probably the entire country, because we saw Paul Tyson in the first game of the season on his ESPN debut. They lost to a team out of Georgia, and then to turn around now last week, I guess it's what you call the Thompson hangover, because they were able to thump Mark Freeman a week ago, and they just weren't able to get over that hump. So there's going to be some type of tiebreaker scenario that's going to go into that region play. It's going to be interesting down the stretch. That was a huge region loss for Hoover. That one really stuck out at me. But also, I mean, you look at the Blount St. Paul score. St. Paul's moves up to 6A. Woe is me, not so fast, my friend, because they're 2-0 in 6A Region 1, and that was going on the road against Baldwin County and Blount, and get two road wins. So congratulations to the Saints.
Well, there wasn't much offense in either one of those games, and I guess that the best thing you could say about those two teams last night was their defense was prevailed, and you know, holding St. Paul's to 11 points, and St. Paul's holding Blount with the speed that they have and the talent that they have over there. You know, every time you think about a Blount football team, you think about their speed and how well they're coached. And for them to go in there and to win that game, two good coaches there. Steve Mass does a great job there as well. And over at Blount, when you look at what they do, those guys have just been so good, so sound fundamentally. The only thing they lack in maybe is a little bit of the kicking game. But, boy, I'm going to tell you, when you look at that game, Blount held St. Paul's down inside the 10-yard line. They then on the following possession, Blount snaps the ball over the quarterback's head, and they get a safety, so it becomes a 7-5 game. And then from there, I think St. Paul scored a late touchdown and then went for a two-point play. But it was, I'm going to tell you, that's two good wins for Steve Mask and St. Paul's. That's all I can say. On the road, both games.
It really is, Rick. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have Gulf Shores next week, and that's another big region game for the St. Paul Saints. And, you know, going down again, looking at 5A, Rick, I want to look ahead a little bit, and I'm looking forward to the Vigor-Jackson matchup next week, and that's going to be at Jackson. Vigor was able to beat Satsuma last night pretty handily, and Vigor is off to a strong start, and that's what you expect with 22-plus seniors on that roster. I talked to it about it 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think Vigor has the potential to win a state championship. I predicted them to win a state championship. So that's how talented those Vigor Wolves are. So just a lot of great football. You mentioned it again in the first segment. Theodore goes down and gets a big win at Fairhope. But also McGill Tulin shutting out Davidson kind of bottled up Blount. McGill still rolling in region play. So a lot of great matchups this past Thursday and Friday night.
Well, and we're going to get deeper, Mark, as we get deeper into the season. We're going to see some of those head-to-head matches like Vigor and Jackson as they collide next week. And so these matchups are going to get tougher and tougher. You guys last night, Bayside, had to go up to Thomasville, a team that dropped down. And, boy, Jack Hankins has got a good football team. And you go up there, and I know it's a tough battle for you guys. You're fighting numbers, too, Mark. I mean, you look out there, they got double the players you got on the sideline. They got the same number of players that you have on your team standing on the sideline.
Right.
So it's a tough, tough mountain to climb.
It is. And, you know, and then you go to a school like Thomasville, and they've got, I think they have six varsity assistant coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that, when you get extra amount of coaches out there that can coach,
yeah,
they just take just more eyeballs on your kids, and they take care of the little things better because they don't miss, you don't miss as much. But Coach Hank has done a great job. They got a good football team.
Always.
And, and that's going to be fun to watch them play. There's some good ball games brewing down the road in 3A. You know, T.R. Miller and Thomasville and Mobile Christian, you know. And I'll tell you what, Flomaton's got a good football team. They're undefeated right now.
And that's a tough place to play,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is.
You
got a really good quarterback there at Flomaton. That'll be a lot of fun coming up. Cottage Hill's got a good football team.
And there's the surprise. There's the shocker right there. The best start that they've ever had since they joined the AHSAA, Mark. And, you know, Coach Brazil coming in his first year as the head coach, those guys are an offensive juggernaut right now.
You know, that's a good point, too. And that Cottage Hill beat Washington County 54-13. And you look back a couple of years, those games weren't even close.
No.
I mean, they weren't competitive.
Weren't
competitive. And, you know, a lot of that credit, and I mean this, Mark and Corey, y'all know how I feel about Jimmy Messer. Jimmy Messer coming in there as a headmaster and making, of course, faith. That is a faith-based school, and that's the primary objective there, and an education. But Jimmy Messer has really placed an emphasis on athletics and what it does to bring that school together. I just think it was a great hire. I think bringing Jimmy Messer in there as a headmaster and then naming Chris Brazil the head football coach and athletic director was another good move by Jimmy. And, you know, it just goes to show you when your leadership is on board with athletics right under academics, then, boy, everything, it just seems to work out so much better. So that's just, to me, one of the best hires we've had in Mobile County in a long time.
No, I would agree. And they've done a great job there and going to continue to do so. They got good people running a good program.
So that's right.
It's great to see that in Cottage Hill right now. Really glad to see it.
One other team that's really doing well, you look at the Saraland Spartans and Jeff Kelly.
Yeah.
They take care of business. McAlpine, the running back, I think he rushed for 299 yards at the Crichton Optimist Club banquet on Wednesday. He said he was going for 300 if his offensive line would let him, and I think he had almost 175, 180 yards before the end of the first half.
Wow.
And Jeff Kelly has the Spartans right where he wants them also.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Jeff's got a lot of talent over there.
He and Bout,
well, they got it going. That's all it is to it.
Yeah, they're doing a good job. Jeff's a good coach, good man, and he's going to doing a great job there. I'd like to bring out a couple things about that Hoover score last night. Did you realize in that game there was over 600 yards of offense?
Doesn't surprise me.
By Hewitt Trussell.
Hewitt Trussell.
And now Talia Tungavaloa threw for over 500. For over 500 yards last night in that game against Oak Mountain.
Hoover's given up almost 1,000 yards in 2 weeks.
I know it.
Offensively.
Yeah, but they've played two Division I quarterbacks, too, now. And you got to remember that. They've played two kids that are very highly recruited all across the nation. And to say that, even Nick Saban's recruiting both of them. So what does that tell you? Two pretty good players. Corey, you going to stay with us? You going to take a break and come back later? What are you going to do?
I'm definitely going to stay with you guys.
Okay. All right. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga, Tyler, and Childersburg, and the Lake 105.1 covering Lake Martin.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to PSR, of course, presented by our good friends at Alpha, Lee Camilleri, Beth Burr, and Earl McKinnell. Appreciate everything they do for us here on Prep Sports Report. I hate to interrupt Boz Gags there, but I do want to say a couple of things. Got a couple of texts here. Good morning, Columbia, South Carolina. Thank you for listening in, and we are praying for you folks in Columbia. You folks on Lake Martin, great to hear from you this morning. Over in Columbus, Georgia, good to hear from those folks over in Columbus, Georgia, that you have avoided and escaped Asheville, North Carolina. Got to play some tennis today. Good luck to you gals playing tennis over in Columbus, Georgia today. And in Sylacauga, Alabama, good morning, Sylacauga. We are so glad to have you with us. All right, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines, and let's go to the Swarm segment with the McGill-Tulin head football coach, Ernest Hill. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
Well,
I
know. Good. Hey, we're good. I know that voice is crackling a little bit. Boy, I can't. And I'm so glad to wake up on Saturday morning and be able to talk. So I feel your pain there. 21-0 over Davidson last night, and you didn't let them cross midfield for almost 3.5 quarters, Ernest. You got to be proud of that defense, which you are so heavily involved with. I know that's kind of your calling card, but at the same time, you know, to win, score 21 points and to shut out a 7A Region 1 opponent, that's got to make a coach feel really, really good, pal.
Well, the defensive coaches, I thought they put a good plan together, and the kids executed it, and, you know, they crossed the 50 finally in the fourth quarter, and they were proud of the guys. They did a great job, and they paid attention all week and did exactly what the coaches want them to do. And they made good tackles, and they had all 11 hats around the football.
You know, Corey LeBounty, Davidson turned the ball over four times, Corey, and that was really what led to all three McGill touchdowns.
Yeah, you were able to put it in the end zone, Coach. I know you had to be happy with the offensive production and the running that was produced in your game also. Talk about C.J. Evans and the way he was able to run the ball hard, and how healthy is Sheldon Lehman? We know a week ago he was held out due to a growing injury when you guys lost that heartbreaker over in Shreveport.
He got a little banged up again last night, but he's doing treatment. He did treatment last night. He's going to do treatment today. He'll be fine, you know, by next week. I think he maybe had a bone bruise or whatever. I was very pleased with the offense the first quarter. We got out and we played probably some of the best football that I've seen in a while. We came off the football. We ran the ball well. We did a lot of play action stuff. I was very proud of them. And going in, you know, late in that first quarter, we fumbled. We put out a short yardage packet in and we fumbled. And after that, it was like a landslide. We didn't play our best, and we got to get that fixed.
You know, we're talking to Ernest Hill, the head football coach at McGill, who had a big win last night, a 7A Region 1 win over Davidson, 21-0. Ernest, I want to go back a week because you and I share a little bit of something. Of course, a team that I coached on has been over to West Monroe and played. Mm-hmm. I want to go back a little bit. I don't think people maybe in where we are understand what kind of program that is. That is one of the outstanding programs over in the western part of Louisiana, really in the state of Louisiana, and have mm-hmm. been one of the premier programs for a long time. I thought it was really, really impressive what you guys did to go over there and to play that game as tight as you played it. And I was impressed with that, Ernest. Now, I know we don't, as coaches, we don't, you know, we see the good in losses sometimes. That may have been a game that really gave you some insight into some things that will help you down the road.
Yeah, that's one reason why I played, scheduled that game. And, you know, we're not going to play another team like that around here. That football team was physical.
Yeah.
They ran downhill. They had some big guys. And, you know, I told our guys, our MO, when we do make it to the, you know, championship game, we can't block guys up front. And it's tough for us to stop the run. And I knew playing a game like this, it was going to be that caliber of football game. You know, I was proud of the guys. We got out of what we wanted out of that game, you know, besides the loss. But going down there, playing those guys was great for us. And nobody knows, you know, we had bad weather that week. Crazy thing about it, we practiced one time last week. And, you know, we didn't get film time in because we couldn't get to the school. And we did one day of special teams. So, you know, for us to go through that adversity and go down that playoff football team like that, I was very proud of our football team.
Corey?
Coach, I know also next week you're preparing for Mary G. Montgomery, another big 7A region matchup for yourself. They came off a heartbreaking loss to the Murphy Panthers last night. Tell us what you're going to do in preparation for the Vikings next week.
Well, you know, we're not going to change anything what we do. We're just going to go through our regular practice schedule. But we got to work. We got to work on ourselves. We got to continue to be consistent. You know, it was very disappointing. We came out, and like I said, we came out that first quarter and played like champions. And then we came out the second quarter, and third quarter, and the fourth quarter, we didn't play very well on the offense side of the ball. But I was very proud of the defense, special teams. We just got to fix some couple of things. We got the right guys out there. We just got to continue to work. And you know, the good thing, I told the coaching staff last night, man, it's okay. It's okay that we're playing that way. We got to get better, but I don't want to peak too early. I just want to get better each week.
Hey, Coach, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Mark and I were talking in the studio. Did you see what happened in Birmingham last night with Hewitt Trustful and Hoover?
I did. That was big for Hewitt, Coach Floyd. I know they've been waiting on to do that for years. You're dealing with Hoover, and they'll be back. You can bet that they'll be back.
Well, that's two good football teams, and I know they're in the northern part of the state, Mark, but I know Ernest keeps his eye on it because that's what we do. That's what we do, isn't it, Ernest?
That's right. You don't suppose to, but, you know.
Hey. Yeah, he's right. Hey. We always want to know, don't we?
That's right. Behind closed doors, we sure
we
do that.
We always want to know.
That's right. Hey, Ernest, congratulations on a great win. Good luck next week against Mary Montgomery. Hope everybody's well over there, and just keep on rolling, pal. We're mighty proud of you guys.
Appreciate it.
Take care. All right. I'm going to tell you, Mark, you know, I think the one thing that stands out, what Ernest says, and he says it just about every time Corey has him on, Corey's does a great job getting McGill Tulin on here, but one of the things that stands out is when you hear these coaches talk is we got to get ourselves fixed.
Right.
You know, so many people think that all we worry about as coaches is looking at game film and breaking them down and doing everything, trying to stop what they're doing. It's really not what it's about.
Well, the first thing you don't do is look at game film and look at your own game film.
That's right.
See what you did wrong. That's what we're going to do today. You know, I'm going to look at the film from last night, and all of our coaches are, and then tomorrow when we get together, we have an idea of what we need to adjust on or what we need to work on. And for us, it always goes back. We got to get back and do the little bitty basic fundamentals it takes to win football games, period.
Yeah.
And, and that's what you do. Then you start scheming up for the next game after you work on yourselves. And that's what everybody – I think Ernest does a really good job with that. And I hear him talk about it all the time. And they do. They take care of little things. And that's why they win so many football games.
Yeah.
They do. They
yeah.
take care of little stuff, and it helps them in the big games.
You know, one of the things that I say, and it doesn't get any easier for you guys next week. You got to go. What you got to go to? You got to go to.
I think they come to us. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's doesn't get any easier for you guys. Corey, what do you see coming down the road, pal?
I mean, I see some great finishes. You talked about it just a moment ago. That again, you look forward to the Viger Jackson matchup a week from now. Coach Lassiter just mentioned it. There's still some intriguing games in 3A football, and UMS Wright just continues to roll. I know you'll have Coach Curtis on in the second hour. Also, you know, Daphne's able to bounce back with the big win last night. St. Luke's and Ron Lee and his Wildcats continue to roll. Jermaine Brown just is amounting staggering numbers offensively for the St. Luke's Wildcats. So there's going to be some great football yet to be played. I mean, you still have the Theodore McGill game that's yet to be played. Also, you look at Fairhope McGill yet to be played. So it may come down to week 9 or 10 before we find out again where everybody's going to be seated in the playoffs.
You know, I thought it was really it kind of blew my mind a little bit when I looked up. And by the way, let me give this score. Doc gave this to me a little bit earlier. For all of our buddies over in Biloxi, last night North Shore Louisiana came into Biloxi and defeated the Indians, the Biloxi Indians, 13-10. So want to make sure that all of our buddies over in Biloxi hear that, because some of you might not have been at the game. Y'all got so many things y'all can do in Biloxi that y'all might not go to much high school football. But 13-10, Biloxi Indians lose last night to North Shore, Louisiana. You know, the one thing that really stands out when I look at it, Caleb Ross, of course, took the Prattville job more. Jamie Dubose is at Central of Phenix City. Jamie comes home to Stanley Jensen Stadium last night, and Central of Phenix City beats Prattville 49-6. Now, Caleb, that is not going to set well with Caleb Ross, I can promise you.
No, and he Caleb knew that going in. Yeah. I remember he said something to me this summer about that, about, you know, we got a lot of work to do to get things back to where we want to get them, and it's going to take baby steps. You just can't change, you know. That old saying about Rome wasn't built in a day
is
a very true statement, because it takes, if you're going to do it right, you got to get back to the foundation, build the foundation, and then build the house on top of it. And Caleb's that kind of guy, and he's going to take care of the little stuff right now. Jamie's already done that at Phenix City. You know, he went over there and just took up that programming and made it go where it is right now. And you know, then, and that's just, he's been there, he's been doing it. Caleb's going to have Prattville the same place in a year or two. It's just going to take a little time.
Well, no doubt. Corey, I don't know if you saw that score, but that was one that really resonated with me to see that.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I was really shocked when I saw that headline come up last night as well. But I do know that, you know, Caleb Ross, like you said, he's going to right that ship and have those guys right where they need to be. You know, it's one of those situations where you can learn from a bad loss like that, because it exposes your flaws on what you really need to work on. And I guarantee this week in practice, they'll get that cleaned up and taken care of.
Well, let's take anything away from, and I really don't intend to, from Jamie Dubose at Central, because they are loaded, and that's a team that does not rebuild; they just reload. I mean, they've got athletes. Corey, we've talked about it for years, year after year after year after year. They've got 5, 6, 7 that are signing with SEC schools.
It's scary. I mean, it is real scary, because you look at McGill Tulane was able to beat them a year ago off a special team blunder.
Yeah,
and that kept Central of Phenix City away from the Super 7 state championship.
No
so
question.
Don't think for 1 minute that that coaching staff or those players have forgot about what they were, or what was at stake a year ago and what they lost a year ago on their home field.
They're
still hungry.
Good stuff. Hey, got to mention this, Mark. Our buddy Steve Savarese is somewhere in town. He's somewhere.
I heard there was a Savarese sighting yesterday.
Yeah, and so he's out with our good buddy Mr. Lazary. And they're listening to our show. Want to say hello to Mr. Lazary. One fine, fine man.
I saw him Thursday night at St. Michael's game.
Great. And, hey, Mr. Lazary, be careful who you keep in company with.
No kidding. Don't let stories get told about you.
Well, don't believe anything he says about us. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The PSR Scout Team Player of the Week is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. I want to remind all you folks headed to Atlanta, and I know a lot of people are headed to Atlanta this weekend. A lot of things going on. We got a lacrosse tournament over there. We got a big soccer tournament in Atlanta. We got even a fall baseball tournament going on at Baseball World in Atlanta. You have got to go by Williamson Brothers Barbecue on the way. You got them in Canton. You got them in Marietta. You just got to stop at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. That's the place you want to be. Go by and see Larry and the entire family, Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Finest barbecue in the South. I can promise you that. That's coming from somebody who, yeah, I've eaten a little bit of barbecue. Williamson Brothers Barbecue, Mark.
That Williamson Brothers stuff. I've got still got some in my refrigerator.
Man.
And every time I get a chance, I put it on barbecue. I put it on steak. I put it on chicken. That stuff is good. Now, I'm not going to kid you. Hey, yeah, we do want to have a small moment here to our condolences to the Glaze family. In Fairhope United Methodist Church there in Fairhope, Pastor Ed Glaze and his family lost their son in a tragic accident last Saturday night in Alexander City or outside of Alexander City, and you know our hearts and go out to them, and you know his dad wrote a little thing on their website there. It says, you know, we're naturally heartbroken and devastated by the passing of our beloved son, Curtis. He loved life, made folks laugh, and he cared deeply for people. He wasn't perfect, but he had a faith that was expressed in showing care and compassion to persons who were hurting, especially children. And that's why he wanted to be a coach and a teacher.
That's good stuff, Mark. And our sympathy goes out to the entire Benjamin Russell family. Close there, of course, they're close to all of us here for a lot of reasons. But Curtis Glaze, 24 years old, recently engaged, died tragically in an automobile accident last week after the Benjamin Russell football game. And so our sympathy certainly goes out to that entire community.
Absolutely.
Our buddy Dwight Busby and everybody up there that is involved with that. Let's go to some... A little bit happier note here. We got Coach Diedrich Sumpter on. And, Coach, good morning. I know you had a tough one last night, but we want to recognize one of your players as a Future One Practice Player of the Week. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Coach. Tell us a little bit about Jamon Malden. He's an 11th grader offensive lineman for you who is our Future One Player of the Week. Tell us a little bit about why you nominated this young man.
First of all, Jamon Malden went, you know, kind of pissed through a lot. You know, he had a lot of inconsistencies here. You know, this is third year playing, but it was time that, you know, he wouldn't come to practice, and he didn't really buy in. But coming into this year, he really bought into the program. That's why I decided to kind of give him a second chance. But he creates so much effort during on our Thursday, our work day, A versus B, our scout look, and he give us a tremendous look and effort. Sometimes I have to calm him down, but he go full speed, and I just think that this award here is really been a major accomplishment in his life, and I really do appreciate everything that Future One has really done, and I think this is something that will mark some sense of confidence in modern life.
You know, we appreciate you, yeah. Coach.
That's good stuff, Corey. And Coach, thank you for saying that. And we appreciate everything that you do and everything that you do for those young men over at Williamson High School. And thank you for taking a short period of your time this morning. I know film work's being done, and we appreciate you taking time. And we certainly want to recognize that young man. And, of course, Corey, we're going to go to Trent Massey now. And good morning, Trent. How you doing, pal?
Doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing great, Corey.
Trent, I know Future Ones, we're the future. We're sponsoring the practice player or the scout team player of the week, and this is our fourth week doing it. Trent, what went behind you and Gus's idea about recognizing the scout team player of the week?
Well, it's really important in football to be able to recognize, you know, packages and personnel, and, you know, it's just an idea. 3 years ago, it was just an idea in Gus's head, really, and he told me about it, shared with me about what the idea was, and we just brought it to life. And, you know, it's helped a lot of coaches and a lot of teams just be able to quickly and easily, you know, recognize the opponent just by putting the numbers on. Football is such a recognition game now, so it's just one of those things that, you know, really innovative. It's still new to the market. People are still catching on to it, but you know, it's just one of those things that's really coming abroad, you know, coming along with the football programs, and we've enjoyed getting our product out there.
As you continue to get your product out there, Trent, tell everybody how they can reach Future Ones and what products are available online for people to go and browse and purchase, not only their upcoming 7-on-7 apparel or their basketball season or softball or baseball apparel also.
Yeah, that's, you know, one thing that a lot of people are still figuring out is Future Ones is not just the scout team jersey anymore. We have full game apparel, any sport. We have uniforms, custom uniforms, and then also we do a lot of, you know, spirit packs, where we did a lot of spirit packs for football, and now we have a great program going on for your basketball program where you can get your travel gear and spirit packs for basketball. You can find that at futureones.com, or we're on Facebook at Future Ones, on Twitter at Future Ones Jerseys, and also Instagram at Future Ones Jerseys. So we'd love to help any high school coach out there in any sport get your uniforms or practice apparel.
Hey, Trent, thanks a bunch for taking time out with us this morning, pal. We appreciate everything that you and Gus and all your team's doing. We appreciate every bit of it, and we look forward to continuing our relationship with you here at PSR.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Take care.
Great weekend.
You too, Trent. You know, Mark, as we move forward, Corey, a couple of games we want to talk about next week. Of course, Mark, you guys have T.R. Miller.
That's a huge game next week for us.
I mean, major game. Major. And then Viger and Jackson, who Corey's already stepped out on a dead tree limb and said Viger's going to win a state championship. And I think I'm going to call my buddies in Birmingham, get on the show with them, and tell them Corey did that. And I'm going to go on the Alabama High School Athletic Association Network and tell them that Corey's predicted that.
If what I knew else? How to tweet, I'd tweet it. But
yeah,
I'm
going to tweet that.
I'm not a tweeter.
I'm going to tweet that today. Don't let's make sure we tweet that from PSR, from Sports Night. Let's tweet it from everywhere that Corey LeBounty's out there.
From the mountaintop.
There you go. From
there
the mountaintop.
You go. There
Corey.
You go.
Corey on the mountain.
Yeah, Corey on the mountain. That's it. Vigers, 5A state champions this year. And I'm going to tell you
No pressure, baby.
You better call Eric Scott, because he's going to be on you. I'm telling you.
Trust me, I've already heard from him, and I've let him know. They said it better not be the kiss of death, so they're just going to have to bring it each and every.
All right, pal. Well, I know you're probably going to get on out there with Boogie Cousins while we talk to Terry Curtis.
That's right.
You take care and have a great day, pal.
Y'all do the same.
All right. We'll be back with more PSR. With Terry Curtis, head football coach and athletic director at UMS Wright. 4-0, not a single defensive touchdown allowed this year.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LeBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. I want to mention something that, of course, we spoke just a few minutes ago about Curtis Glaze, a young 24-year-old offensive line coach at Benjamin Russell. And we certainly want to send our sympathy out to the entire Benjamin Russell family, but also locally. His daddy, Ed, is the pastor to First United Methodist Church in Fairhope, and we certainly want to extend our sympathy to that entire congregation. And that is a tragic loss, a young life snuffed out at 24 years of age. And knowing Terry Curtis, in all likelihood, if Terry got mentioned, if he knew that this young man was killed, he was probably on the phone making a phone call to the head coach at Benjamin Russell if he knew about it.
Absolutely.
I can promise you that. Do want to mention, we appreciate Patty over at Allegri's over on Highway 64 in Daphne. Boy, I know that I can promise you this. Kevin Raley and myself every Saturday are in there to see Patty and getting some boiled peanuts. And, boy, we just – of course, Patty's a girl that we love. We love her to death. She's always been very kind to us, and she loves old Scooter. When we get Scooter on here, she thinks the world of Scooter, and we appreciate everything that Allegri's does for all the folks in that area, and certainly appreciate what she does for us here at Prep Sports Report. Terry Curtis and the UMS Wright Bulldogs – I don't know what to say. They just keep getting better and better, Mark. And you know, offensively, they're just solid as they can be. And Jay Cozio has come in and taken over for Don Jennings, who retired after a great career with Terry, both Murphy and at UMS. Right. Good morning, Coach. How you doing, pal?
Doing great, Rick. Doing great. But I did talk to Kevin. I talked to Dwight Busby and those guys up there, and told them we were thinking about them, and even tried to get the pastor over at Fairhope. You know, you hate to see anything like that to a young kid, but yet a young guy who's from what Kevin and all those guys up there say was really going to be an outstanding coach and love the game and love that. You just you hate something like that to happen to anyone, but especially one of them in your profession that you've kind of gotten to know a little bit.
Well, as soon as I got word of it, it was late when I got it, and I wasn't going to call you. And the next morning, I was in church, I think, and didn't call you. And I apologize for that. I usually try to keep you, but I knew that you would do something with it as soon as you found out about it. And that's a tragedy that we just hate to see in our business, Coach. And I know you're right involved with it.
Yep. How'd they do this week?
They won. They won. And let's see. I'll get that score, but they won. They won.
That's fine. Hey, Terry, I got to ask you a question. I watched y'all on film the other day, and I was going to tell you, y'all's defense swarms like I can't believe. I mean, I watch y'all play, and they are just everywhere. Sometimes it looks like there's 12, 13 people on the field. They're just everywhere. No matter what you do, they just do a great job of understanding what Jay's teaching and what y'all are trying to get done, and it plays so hard. Talk about y'all's defense a little bit. Man, they look good on film.
Well, you know, it's really hard to, you know, like last night, you know, you try to get some things can work on, and I told him, I said, now guys, we did lose containment a couple times tonight. We got to work on that next week. And our zone, we didn't get to our zones quite like we normally do, but you know, they are doing and playing at such a high level right now, it's hard to find anything to you know, to get on them about. And you know how I am. I
can't
get on somebody about it. Because maybe I don't want Jay and them to get too cocky either. About half time, I blame it on them for the mistakes that the kids are making and them not coaching it. So, I'm telling you now, and I'm proud of all of them, but we've got a new defensive line. I doubt if one of them weighs 200 pounds.
That's right.
But John Rice is the only one back who played last year. And Eli McKinnon and Eric Wesley and Cameron Snipes and James Quinley, a ninth grader. Those guys are doing outstanding. We knew our four linebackers should be solid, and they have been. I'm going to tell you, if you have not seen those guys, and I'm talking about Cole Owen and Jeff Barber and Tyler Irvin, probably the most improved player we've got there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Will Breland, number 25. Will Breland's just playing at a level just unbelievable, Mark, right now. And then on the back end with Conrad Inge and Edmund White and the corners Harris and Richard Brinson, Harris Pugh. They just fun to watch right now. And they did the same thing last night. You know, Williamson was a very formidable opponent. They had a good game plan and got some athletes all over the field. And our guys were running and chasing and you know, just the things that you've got to do. And you know, I'm just so proud of Jay and David, Eddie Roy, and Emmanuel, and Erling Reeves. They're doing a great job with those guys over there.
And I got tickled. I was thinking last night as I was running around doing stuff, I was thinking about the year we played Williamson, and we played them at Ladd, and they had – who was the kid that was such a great player, Terry? And I remember you say, "Yeah," said, "The heck with this, I'm gonna run right at him." I'm running right at him. The heck with that.
And that's not what you got to do with them.
Yeah,
you're not gonna run sideways with them. And
no,
too fast.
Go forth, and you know, they got two or three guys playing both ways. But Dedrick's done a good job with those guys, and I really think the way the region's kind of panning out, that they've got a good chance to be one of the four teams that make the playoff. I'm gonna tell you one name now. His last name is Woodyard for Williamson. Number three. You know, I don't usually know names. I go by numbers.
You go by numbers.
Number three.
Terry never knows his name.
Is a ninth grader. And I am telling you now, that boy is a boy dog. He is he never comes off the field. Plays middle linebacker, running back, quarterback, everything else. And you're going to hear that name one day going somewhere. Woodyard. Robert Woodyard, I think his name.
We got one of those, too. I mean, don't we have a Woodyard? Isn't that Keyshawn?
Yeah, I had Keyshawn. He was Ken. He said, no, I don't think so. Y'all got to be Ken somewhere.
Somewhere down the line. That's right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you four linebackers, they play like their hair's on fire. That strong safety, this is number 25.
That's Breland. That's Will Breland.
Yeah, holy cow. Yeah. That guy's impressive now. I'm going to tell you.
I don't know how many tackles he had last night, but he had two interceptions. In the game last night,
and one was late. Yes. One was late, but down in the end zone down there. And Wes said, "I tell you what," Wes said this last year, early in the year, he said he's got a chance to be really a special player, and you just verified that.
Just a junior.
Yeah, well, that's always joy. talk a little, but. Terry, you look long. There's a bunch of them youngins we got. I mean, you got a bunch of them out there. Yeah. Talk just a little bit about Skipper. I mean, I'm proud as a peach for Skipper.
The best thing about him is Skip waited his time. He didn't do like so many of these kids do today, get upset because he's not starting. And even though, you know, you see it in college and all, you even see it in high school now, he's waited his time. He's senior. He stayed the course. He stayed right there. It's kind of like Will Chapman last year.
Yeah.
And now to have the success that he's having is just unbelievable. He made a big-time throw to Angus last night right after half to help him put the game away. And he's just going to get better and better, Rick. You can only get so much of this in practice. You know, it's nothing like game speed and playing in the game. And the game is, you can see it kind of slowing down. We watched film on Wednesday or Thursday, and you can just see he's seeing more and more of it. He's reading his reads more, and the game's just slowing down for him. So he's going to only get better as the season goes on. He's got a great arm, and that's one of his problems sometimes. He wants to show that arm off instead of getting rid of the ball. So, But man, what a great kid and what a great leader. The guys take to him. One of the biggest things that people have not talked about in this, and I think of this stuff for schedule first four games that anybody in the state played, except maybe Hoover. But we don't have any interceptions nor one fumble in four games.
Boy, that's
and that's big.
I can't remember that ever happening. I really can't. No, I don't think we've ever done that.
Not in high school, so therefore, and our kicking game has been solid, and our defense have been so good. We play with a lot of short field.
Well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come back. We're going to kind of talk just a little bit about the state of football in Alabama. Just talk a little bit about that because you're on the cutting edge of that, and we'll talk about some things that I know you know a lot about, and we'll just kind of give a state of the state talk on that. We'll be back with Terry Curtis, 4-0, UMS Wright Bulldogs yet to give up a defensive point this year.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. We got Terry Curtis on the line, but before I go right back to Coach Curtis, I've got to give a couple of scores from Sylacauga, Childersburg, Talladega area. Childersburg fell last night to Hopeville 35-12. A lot of people don't know this. Terry knows this. The head football coach at the University of Georgia, Kirby Smart, grew up right there in Slapout, Alabama, Hopeville High School, where his daddy, Sonny Smart, was the head football coach at Hopeville for a lot of years before he went over to Bainbridge, Georgia. But Terry will love this. When Kirby Smart was a little boy, he was the ball boy. He used to bring us umpires baseballs. He spit on them all the time. He would spit on them just to rub them down. That's what Kirby did.
Back from slap outs, going to spit on a baseball.
Absolutely.
Now,
Kirby was taught that at a young age. Talladega 47, Elmore County 21. Congratulations to B.B. Comer. B.B. Comer wins one. First game they've won, I think, in a long, long time. B.B. Comer 40, Glencoe 7, and Fayetteville. Congratulations to our buddies in Fayetteville, especially to John Limbaugh, the head coach there. Fayetteville wins 17-8 over Coosa Central. Boy, that was a big win there for those guys. So, yeah, Coach, that's kind of funny. Kirby would run those little old balls out. And he'd spit
on them. Like Mark, that doesn't surprise me.
No, not a bit.
Hey,
you know Kirby.
That was so fun. Of course, we just knew he was Sonny's boy at the time, but we can tell that story now. And what a job he's done, Terry. I mean, he's far exceeded what I thought.
He got him going.
He sure.
Hey, before we get going, I forget it. Mark, who's going to win that game next week? You played them both.
Which game?
Well, you played both of them.
Mobile Christian and Thomasville.
I think Mobile Christian's going to win the ball. I think they're a little bit better than Thomasville. Mobile Christian can match up so well across their front and with their speed. I think Mobile Christian is a little bit better than Thomasville. Thomasville's a good football team now. Don't get me wrong, but Mobile Christian's has got a little bit.
You know, they were not region so long, and Jack, man, we played them forever and ever and ever. And I was just wondering how they kind of matched up with you having played both of them.
And I think Mobile Christian's a little bit. I think they can match up with them better than we could. You know, we played around there with them last night. It was 7-7 to go with 7 minutes. I mean, 7-0 with 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And we just gave up a long play, and they had a couple skilled people that we could, and they got behind us, and we couldn't catch them. But, you know, I thought that Mobile Christian's front is really good. Their quarterback's getting better. Yeah. And so I think, I just think they're a little better than Thomasville.
Well,
big game.
That's going to be a huge one.
You know, I know Jack Hankins is having withdrawals this year because, I mean, he had a direct line to Terry. He and Terry talked, I guess, probably what, Terry, every week.
I don't think he might miss his playing him too much.
Well, I don't know now. Jack enjoyed that. Was a good rivalry. That was a good rivalry. Jack and Terry, that was a big rivalry for us.
He's supposed to be good this year. I mean, he's got a lot of seniors. He had a lot back from that team last year that wasn't bad. I had not seen him. So.
Yeah,
that'll be a good game.
Yeah,
where they play.
I think they play at Mobile Christian, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Terry, when we came in this morning, of course, we all look at scores, but one that I can't even believe it. Hewitt Trustville doubles Hoover last night, 56-28.
And, you know, the bad thing, I got to talk to Josh today about a couple other different things, and I'm trying to put it off maybe until – Monday, calling because I don't remember the last time Hoover gave up that kind of points. I don't care. I don't think a small college team scored that many points on.
Whew,
so, I'm telling you,
they must have. But now Hewitt supposedly got some athletes.
They
got 7-8 D1 players on that.
Yeah, they got some players.
And that's,
somebody said they got them all over Birmingham.
Running back came from Big Florence. Area. The running back came from Florence. Quarterback came from Mountain Brook.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know that's the one. He did. Isn't the guy that's there, the guy that was at Shiloh where Gus was, isn't that right, Coach? That's the same guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Sad,
yeah.
Well.
And I think St. Clair County won a receiver.
Right. That's right.
There.
That's right. And he's won everybody's after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Big time player, Coach. We get this question all the time, and I don't know the answer to it. What's going on with the legal case? Is it just kind of in limbo? Is it sitting out in the cloud somewhere? What's going on with that?
Well, last we heard that Judge Steele, who's the one that ruled the first two times, is retiring. So he's planning his retirement, and he's turned it over to the guy who's going to take his place.
Oh.
So there's no telling when that thing would may do it, you know? My only thing is I know the natives are wrestling. Some of them wanting to get their paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. You know, I've asked Steve a couple times, and they haven't heard anything. And Savarese and them, they hadn't heard anything. So, you know, I don't know how long this thing may go on before he finally make the another ruling on it. So, you know, I think everybody's just gotten in limbo.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at some point in time, it's just got to end. And I mean, and federal courts now, it's in their hands, and that's the last place we all wanted it. I know that. I know as hard as you guys on the central board work, as hard as Steve and that office works to try to disseminate all of this information, and you guys, I know every day there's something.
It's just not good for anybody, for St. Paul's, for other schools, for public schools, private schools. You know, it's just a bad deal, and everybody wants to just kind of hopefully see it go away and move on and see and you know, right now it ain't hurting Steve too much. He's 2-0 in that region.
Yeah, that's right. Lord have mercy. On the road, good, Terry.
And played them off at their place, and you know, Blunt's good. And you know, Baldwin County thought they were really going to be good, and you know, and I know it. Baldwin County in bad conditions, he took care of business, but you know, he'll be all right.
You know, Terry, as we evolve and as you know, we getting into the second half of, I guess, of our life. I looked up this week and I saw
half. I like hearing that.
That's right, baby. We're not in the fourth quarter yet.
Not in the fourth quarter.
We're in the second half. It's third quarter, early third quarter.
And people always ask me, said, "Is Terry ever?" I said, "Is Terry ever going to retire?" I said, "He's kind of like all of us. We can't play golf all the time. We don't, you know, there ain't nothing else to do."
Well, I can't play golf, first of all. Y'all have seen me play, so that's not going to happen.
Well, but but really.
Unless I play with Terry. Now, every now and then I can play with Terry and hit a good round every now and then.
Don't let him fool you. Don't you let him get in your pocketbook.
I was on his team.
Oh, okay.
Best round he ever played with me.
Best round. That's a dead gum truth.
Yeah, well, Mass says he's a golfer, Terry. I had never seen him play, but, of course, something else, Terry.
Mass can hit it now. Mass can hit it. I can tell you, you know, he's like the rest of us. He don't get to play enough, but when he's playing in the summer and all, he's not a bad golfer.
Well, he needs to start walking.
He's probably not. You and him a lot alike, Rick. y'all be a good match.
Well, now, hold on, Coach. Now, my belt size has gone down. His has gone up.
He's been like that so long, his swing kind of made for that.
It's morphed into it.
That boy's going to have to start walking instead of riding in that cart now.
Drives around that convertible all the time. He bought him a bicycle. I think he rode it one time.
I want to see the tires on that bicycle. I'm telling you, Lord have mercy.
I talked to him one day. He said, I said, what are you doing? He's humping and puffing. He said, I ride this bicycle up this hill trying to get home.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to have a good buddy. Coaching is our arch rival. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
It makes it all fun.
It is hard. But gosh, Terry, you've handled that so well over the years, and I mean that. That's with Jimmy Perry and now with Steve, and going back even further than that with Eddie Guth and those guys, you handle that just like a champion. And so, but now, have you seen this thing? And we only got a minute. Well, have you seen this thing that Mark Freeman's got, that stadium that they built at Thompson, Terry?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. I haven't seen it in person. He showed me all the pictures and the weight room and the locker rooms and forget the field. You know, I mean the other stuff. You know, the locker rooms are unbelievable. That weight room, Lord, Alabama and Auburn not much better than that.
Gosh. You know?
That's where kind of high school it seems to be is going is these facilities. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I always said that kids go to colleges for one, how soon they can play, and number two, the facilities. That's why they keep on upgrading them and upgrading them and upgrading them. And you're seeing the same thing in high school now. And, you know, you can't really blame parents for wanting their kids to play in programs like that where they got top-notch facilities. And, you know you're going to be on TV and your kids are going to be looked at. So, you know, that's why I have very little problem with what's going on with high schools now,
right.
Because you know parents are looking out for the kids.
No doubt.
You know, I'm not into all these third parties and shopping your kid around for the best deal or this, that, and the other. But as far as just moving from one to the other, and that's the biggest problem we got, Rick. It's not public and private anymore. The problem is city schools and county schools.
Right.
You know, that's where the problem is. The city schools have all the money and do what they want to.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
Saraland over there is building a nice complex, you know, right as we speak.
Right.
You know, to go with their facility over there. And then the county schools get very little money. You know, if they won't even it out, they need to start giving the county schools some money like they should be doing,
right,
where they can thrive. And you see everything get better.
You know, we said that years ago, Terry. You and I, on this show, we talked about the deficiency of the county school systems and the state legislature when they jumped in all of this Alabama High School Athletic Association. I think you even made the comment that they need to worry more about funding for county schools than they need to worry about what we're doing in the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Well, exactly. They come in and give all our accountability money to a lot of kids who don't even need it. Why not give all that money to the county schools and give them where they can,
yep,
can build up and have more teachers and have more better facilities and all that thing, instead of spending all their money on this accountability money for kids to go to private school?
No doubt about it. Now listen, when football season's over, we want you to come in here and sit down with us for a couple of hours, because there are so many things that you are so good at and know so much about, and this is a great place for you. I mean, heck, Terry, we might need to all do this, you know, we might need to do this down the road just to stay involved.
Yeah,
maybe the only way we can.
being on the central board and then being the president of the Football Coach Association, and I just got put on the National Alliance, which is football coaches in the whole country.
Right.
There's a five-man alliance for it, and I'm lucky enough to be on that with USA Football.
Yep.
So there's a lot of talk going on about football, the state of football, and those things, and I'm really wanting to be a part of that in trying to keep this great game, you know, alive and the way we know it.
Right.
Know, they're even talking now so much about the kicking game.
Yeah.
It's not going to be long. The high school's going to go down, and there's not even going to be any kicking in high school.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll
that's
be like about like a middle school game where you,
yep,
put the ball on the 30 or 35, and then,
yeah,
if you want to punt it, go down to the other, you know, 35 yards and put it down and give them the ball.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what, you know, the kicking game is so important, not just to the kids who do it, but also in strategizing.
Absolutely.
Even week to week, a lot of it has to do with the kicking game. That's why they say it's one third of the game. And
that's right.
I just hate to see it go away. Yeah, there's some things need to be done, but you know, probably let's not do away with kicking the football.
No, you know, in closing, Terry, we worked more on the kicking game at UMS Wright with you than we did at all of the schools combined that I ever coached at.
That wins a lot of games, man.
Oh, it does. It does win a lot. Hey, thanks a bunch for taking time out this morning, and have a great weekend. And I got to say to you, War Eagle, I mean, we need to win this one today.
Hey, I've been texting my coaches back and forth up there. They're ready to go, man. I've been taking my stuff on. I talked to Tim Horton and Kevin this morning. Man, they fired
they
up.
They pumped.
I think they're ready.
All right, pal.
Take care, Terry.
Ready. I'm ready.
We'll see you soon, pal.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, real quick, let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Doing great, guys. How is everybody?
Doing good. Did you find that party vehicle? You got to find that thing.
I found it because it's here on the car lot when I pulled in about 20 minutes ago. So, yeah, I found it now. Where it was last night, it was in parts unknown, I guess.
Well, if it was at UMS Wright, I didn't see it, and I was all over the place last night, so I did not see it. But I hope it was there anyway. Hope it was there.
No, that was the plan. But
what we got going on?
Better things.
What we got going on out there today?
Well, I went out this past Wednesday and bought a handful of cars, and they've all arrived, and I've got pretty much a good variety. I've got a nice Suburban LTZ, a 2013. It's got everything you could ask for. Also got a truck you guys might be interested in. a nice 2011 Silverado with 124,000 miles on it. It's got leather and a roof, and it is ready to go. It is super clean.
Wow. Now tell us how we can get in touch with you guys.
PremierMotorsportMobile.com. We are on Facebook under Premier Motorsports. Or you can always call us at 251-338-9019. Or come by and see us. We're right in Crichton. We're looking at the back door of McDonald's.
Good job. Hey, we look forward to seeing you soon, David. Thanks a bunch, pal.
Thanks. Everything you guys do for prep sports.
All right, pal. Take care. All right, now let's go back to the Premier Motorsports communication lines, and let's talk to Coach Jason Barnett. Good morning, Coach. How you doing? Citronelle High School off to the best start they've had in a long, long, long time.
Good morning, guys. Thank y'all for having me on.
Well, let me say this to you, pal. War Eagle.
War Eagle, absolutely. I'm just about to be in the loveliest village this morning.
Well, that's you've got a little piece of heaven there. Mark shaking his head. He can't handle it.
Overwhelmed this morning.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody, Jason. That's exactly right. You had a good one last night, 28-20 over LaFleur. You guys seem to be to kind of got things rolling there. And I know that Hezekiah Belfond and the kid from LaFleur that we talked about, he had a pretty good second half. But you guys, you were able to keep them out of the end zone and to win the game. That's a great win for you guys.
Yeah, we got out to a pretty good start, and we just kind of held on, to be honest with you. And I told everybody all week long that we were concerned about our conditioning. And, we could run every day at practice. I could run them till their tongues are dragging. And it's, there's no simulating, the actual game experience. And so, the first couple of weeks, we've played half a football game, and so we knew it was going to be a tough one, and whether we could, how we were going to respond with the adversity that we got, and whether we'd be able to hold on for four quarters. And we came out, popped them in the mouth, and we got going, and it came in at the half. We felt really good, but we knew that those guys are really talented. LaFleur is probably the biggest football team we've seen in 2 years. And they're long and lean, and they're just a really talented bunch of kids, and they weren't going to quit. So, I told Coach Hamburger after the game was over with that, my hat's off to him, because they could have easily folded the tent, and they didn't. And they gave us everything we wanted. So I'm super proud of my kids and our coaches. They had a plan, and we kind of went away with it for a few minutes, but we got back to it. And we felt like we could run the football, and we needed to, and get some clock run, and thankfully we did, because it was 29 seconds left when we finally hit the victory formation.
One of the great things, Jason, and Mark and I talk about this a lot, one of the best things you can do offensively is run that clock. Just let that clock run and slow the game down. And when you play some of these teams here in the Mobile area, especially teams that you have to play, one of the best things you can do is take your time, letting that offense just kind of snuggle in there, and let some time run off that clock.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And we've got a pretty good running back in Joffrey Hutchinson, and our offensive line. Back in the summer, we didn't know where we were going to be with the offensive line, and we had to rebuild. And Coach Herring, our offensive line coach in OC, he had to replace every starter on the offensive line. And so we've got a guy back in Dawson Stranger, and then Dawson Dykes transfers in from Satsuma. And, those two guys are starting tackles. And we've got a new center and Jackson Delaney and Zach Bird and Justin Reed. Those are three kids in the middle there that are all, juniors and haven't had a whole lot of football experience as far as the varsity side goes. But we didn't know where we were going to be when it came to that, and they have performed way further than I ever thought they would at this point.
Well, Jason, this is a lot of people want to talk about the interim and all of that stuff. Right now, that's not even something to think about.
Don't. You're exactly right. At the end of the day, if they want me to be the head football coach permanently at this high school, I'll gladly accept it. If they don't, I've done everything I could possibly do. That's the best I can do.
Absolutely.
So, I always look at it, and I told somebody when they gave me the job, I said, with the environment of the coaching circle, the way things are today, everybody's an interim. we can say what we want to, we can say whatever, but it don't take but a couple of bad football games and all of a sudden the seat's real hot. So we're all kind of an interim basis anyway.
Well, you look at every level of football. You look at college football today. Texas Tech's playing Houston today, and everybody's talking about, well, is his job on the line at Texas Tech? And that's
their, one of their native sons.
Yes, right. Played quarterback for him. That's right.
You know, that tells you right there that, you know, we've kind of gone away from the emphasis of placing it on building character and building young men and doing this and doing that, and it's a wins and losses environment now, and that we know it. You know, as coaches, we know that now.
That's right.
And we just have to live with it. If we want to stay in this and do it long enough, we're going to have to live with it.
Well, that's on Randy Campbell's shoulders now. That's his job.
And by the way, Randy told me to tell you hello this morning. Absolutely. That's right. That's on Randy's shoulders now.
Yeah, that's my buddy. And listen, he's got some big shoulders. He can handle the load, I can promise you.
He can handle it. Big country can handle it.
That's exactly right. Well, look, Jason, thanks for taking some time out to be with us this morning. Congratulations on the start. Look forward to following you the rest of the year. God bless you and War Eagle, pal.
Hey, thank you guys for having us on, and thank you for everything you do for our high school sports in our area. Thank y'all and War Eagle.
All right, pal.
Good luck, Coach.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, they're excited up there. I promise you, man.
I mean, I'm excited for them.
I am, too. Well,
Citronelle's a neat little place up there. If you've never been there, you need to go spend a little time. It's a neat little place. It's a community that loves its high school.
Yeah.
It loves what
That's
they
right.
do there, every part of it, not just football. They love their band. They love their
they
cheerleaders.
Do.
They love
sure
everything
do.
About that school.
Yep.
And they put a lot of time into it. So it's just a great thing. I'm really, really proud for Coach.
Hey, I got a shout-out to my buddies over in Columbus, Georgia, Jan and Diane. Those girls are playing tennis today, and they got a match, I think, about 11:30 our time, 12:30 Eastern time. But good luck to you ladies as you play your match today in the sectionals, USTA sectionals. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, folks, we've lost a lot of great, great friends of Prep Sports Report in the last year. And we want to extend our sympathy this morning to a guy that loves high school sports. His name is Robert Lose. Robert Lose, we call him Shot, Mark.
Yep.
And Robert lost his mom this week. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's been a tough week for Shot. We just want to extend our sympathy out to the Lose family. And may God's grace sustain Shot and your entire family during this very difficult time. You know, Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, every day y'all hear me talk a good bit about how every day is a gift and how every day that I wake up, I feel pretty good about things. And as this week has transpired for me, it's just been, I've gotten all kinds of messages and notes and phone calls from friends and people and family that have called and just said, you know, we remember this time, you know, a year ago and how troubled we all were and how your family was troubled and how thankful we are for God allowing you to stay with us. And as I think about that, I think about how grateful I am. And gratitude is a big, big part of my life today. And I had some quotes here I'm going to read you. And it's just several different ones. And we can comment, Rick, you can just cut into me if you want to. And because there's some things in here that I read that are just, I think about all the time. First one, my first one said by Dick Cheney. He says, I wake up every morning literally with a smile on my face, grateful for another day that I never thought I'd see. And for me, now that's pretty real. I didn't, because, you know, back when I first went out, I didn't know anything. And then I woke up and I was like, holy cow, you know, what in the world's happened to me? Will I see another day? How bad is my heart? Yada, yada, yada. And so today I wake up every day with that thought in my head. It's just, man, you know, I'm just grateful I'm here. And then it moves forward into other things. I look forward to the future and feeling grateful for the past. I'm grateful today for what happened to me a year ago. Because on that day, God let me know that there's more to life than what you're doing. And I'm going to put you back here on this planet so you can live your life the way I intended you to do all along. And some days I fail at that. Some days I don't. And I strive to do that every day. But I'm going to tell you something. I am grateful for my past. I don't ever want to forget all the mistakes I've made. I don't want to forget things that I've done incorrectly. I want to learn from those and hopefully not make those same mistakes again. I want to be able to wake up every day knowing that my past has given me the gratitude I've got today, because today I can live life better. If I do better today, that's a good day for me. And I want to be able to do that every single day of my life.
You know, Mark, as we've gone through our lifetime as coaches, you and I have talked about this I don't know how many times, but the greatest lessons we learn are from our losses. The greatest lessons we learn as coaches are from the losses that we take on a football field. I go back and I remember Prattville in 1984. We played Spence McCracken's Robert E. Lee team, and they pulled up at Stanley Jensen Stadium at 7:05. That's one of Spence's deals now. Yeah. So they pulled up because it's a hard place to play. And they beat us that night. And I can remember Kevin Turner, God rest his soul. I can remember him in the locker room saying, "We won't be beat again." That became prophetic, mm-hmm. because we weren't.
Right.
We weren't. And we went on to win the state championship that year. And that young man, a sophomore, had a vision of greatness. We learned from that loss. And I have not been on very many coaching staffs where we didn't learn more about our football team and about our philosophy than when we lost a game. For what we lose, we must gain. Jesus said that in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
For what we lose, we must gain. So pertinent what you bring to us this morning, Mark, because it wasn't your time. It was not your time. And as we sat in that waiting room day after day, we looked at Michelle and we saw that smile on her face, and that was God's grace sustaining her through the most difficult of times. And there were people in there with some really sad, sad faces.
Yeah.
I mean that. They were some sad, sad faces. But your children and Michelle, there was something, there was joy in their hearts. And as your mom and dad sat there, there was some trepidation.
Yeah, it was.
There was. And that's a Baptist pastor who sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. But as I watched Michelle and your boys, there was an inner strength that was just unbelievable. For what we lose, we must gain. There's no better story. There's no better ministry than what God has put in your life. And the joy of being your friend and seeing that is what you're doing with that, Mark. It is a joy every single day. And look at what's happening at Bayside. Look at the changed lives that have occurred as a result of what you went through in your own life. It's not only a miracle, it's a ministry. It's a miracle with a ministry. And, oh boy, for those of us that were just sitting out watching it, for people like Patty at Allegri, when you walk in there, every single day she wanted to know, how is Mark doing? Every single day that I would go in Dreamland Barbecue to see my buddies in there, they would all say, how is Coach Lassiter? people that you wouldn't know them from Adam's house, Kat, but they knew who you were. That's God's ministry, and that's through you, Mark, and it's a blessing. I can tell you that. It's an absolute blessing.
I'm just so thankful today that God, you know, he's allowed me to do this and given me a different heart.
Yeah.
It's hard. That heart of mine's different. And it's different in a good way. Now, I got a little mechanical help in there, but it's making it better.
A couple of times.
But you know what? It's, I mean, I do. I have a fantastic feeling in my heart, my soul, and God placed it there.
Well,
and it's nothing Mark did. I can assure you, it is nothing I did. God is in control.
A lot of us have seen that for a lot of years, Mark. It's just refined. It's refined. Folks, thank you for being a part of Prep Sports Report. We're here 52 weeks out of the year. Hope you'll catch Sports Night Monday with Dalt and with Corey LeBounty, 7 to 8. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time, next week.